SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again.
With Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Does that blow your mind? That just happened.
Welcome in, friendos, to the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast. I am the Welsh. That's Scott Bogman. And today, it is week three rankings. Jeff Erickson from RotoWire is going to be joining us. We're going to be going through our biggest rank differences, all of the big major four positions, where maybe some of the ECR is at, where we are going crazy, some high-end and low-end conversations because there's a lot of stuff. All the players are injured. We're making adjustments, waivers we had. That's what we got in store for you today. Plus, we've got voicemails, a brand new Jack Boyce parody song going to be coming up. Oh, yes. Thank you very much. And of course, it is Scott Bogman with, which shirt is that? The In This League,
Keep It 37.
That's right, the Keep It 100, the Keep It 37. In a row, that's our thing. What's up, Boggies?
Hey, I'm doing good. Steelers are sitting at 2-0, man. 10-1 last week in my fantasy leagues.
What was that one?
Stupid three sport to you because Dallas Goedert caught a pass in the fourth quarter. So had an excellent week. This week, really, really good. I mean, just and look, I won a couple leagues scoring like the third least points. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just was a perfect storm of being 10-1 this week.
It's been pretty good too.
We're also first in pentathlon in best ball and in our super flex auction.
We had a great pentathlon week. We have not received the update email yet to see where we're at, but we had a phenomenal one. I have
released the tapes.
Release.
We want to see them.
I'm trying to think off the top of my head. I want to say I've got upwards of, let's just call it 12. Let's just do this for an argument. 12 like leagues between, I've got like four sleeper leagues. I think I've got four Fantrax leagues, two Yahoo, two FFPC. Oh, I think I nailed it. So not counting best ball. I have one team that's 0-2, only one. And more than half of them are 2-0, which is pretty good. Or maybe way over half. Like I lost by little itty bitties. One, Evan Ingram being out killed me in one league, which actually was the 0-2 league. So I'm kind of in agreement with you. It's been a pretty good week. I did get hit a little bit, and this is a real big bummer. FFPC destroyed Isaiah Pacheco, just killed me in one of them. By the way, one of those, the $1 million FFPCs, I'm 2-0. The other one, I'm now 1-1 because for the second straight week, I face the second highest or first highest scoring team. Last week, I was the highest scoring team, faced number two. This week, I was the second highest scoring team, faced number one. That's brutal blow. But lost Pacheco in one league, Cup in one league. Those injuries are the ones that really affected me. And I lost Debo in two leagues.
I tell you what, I'm not great in flex so far. I think 2-2. But that Christian McCaffrey, not taking Christian McCaffrey in the first round isn't looking so bad. At this point,
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. Interesting week in waivers. That's kind of the thing we can open up with real quick across the board. I don't know. Did Jake put out his waiver report that he always does?
I didn't see it. I haven't been tagged. That doesn't mean that he didn't put it out. It could just mean that my bids didn't win at all.
Yeah, well, I didn't have much of a winning bid here. But the reason I bring it up is because there was just a lot to be had for this week. Carson Steele, I think, was the tippy top. Some people let themselves, I think, get like a little bit messed with the Kareem Hunt stuff. Kareem Hunt was signed by the team. I think that was silly. Samaje Perine, probably 2. DeMarcus Robinson, 3. Juwan Jennings up on that list. I did not get a bunch of shares this week. I did get we got a Quentin Johnston in pentathlon. I got a Juwan Jennings, who I'm pretty high on. 0 Carson Steele, 0 Samaje Perine shares I was able to pick up this week. And it's weird because it's like all these injuries happen, but there was no like no brainer. Like week one, if Jordan Mason was on the wire, that's your Puka. And I think, frankly, Jordan Mason might be this year's Puka in general, because I am genuinely worried about Christian McCaffrey and how good Mason is to when he comes back. McCaffrey. But there wasn't that this week. You lost Pacheco with the fractured fibula. You got Carson Steeler, Samaje Perine. You lost Cooper Kupp. You got like DeMarcus Robinson. You lost Debo. Juwan Jennings is a good replacement, but it's not a game changer type of thing. All these players that you lost have these suboptimal returns, which has made what I believe waivers the messiest in years going into week three. Messy as hell. People just like, they're just fighting for chaos. There's no like for sure things. We're getting tight ends. I'm going to put a tight end in flex. I'm going to start Carson Steele. Yuck. It's all yuck, Bogman.
Yeah, it has not been. I mean, we say it's yuck. Maybe some of these guys work out, but they're not.
At least like, there's options, I guess.
But yeah, you're not breaking the bank for any of these guys. I bid $18 on Carson Steele and did not get him.
I think I bid 15 in flex and I didn't. And we bid 15 or 18 in pentathlon and we did not get.
Yeah, I'm looking. Quentin Johnson went for 21. What did
we got him for $6 in
Steele
pentathlon.
Went for $26. So, Jennings went for 10. Let's see. Kareem Hunt went for 4 only. Let's see.
What league is this?
This is flex.
Okay.
Foreman went for 2. Marshawn Lloyd got dropped. Tyler Huntley went for 2. So not like huge buys here. I think I got Hunter Henry for $4. So not gigantic buys here.
Well, I think that's a pretty good one. I'm trying to see. I guess I can see a couple of these. This was my flex league. Whittington went for $17.
Ooh, he went for 4 in mine.
Wow. Foreman went for 11. Kareem Hunt was 2. Quentin Johnston, $26 in my league. Joe Dolan, $28 for Carson Steele.
Juwan Jennings I think what did I say? It was 26 in mine. So
man, I just got bid out for Juwan Jennings. That stinks. So I didn't get anybody in flex. I must have underbid.
I had 9 on Jennings and Scott King got him for 10.
I think Jennings at a low cost might be one of the biggest, but also like DeMarcus Robinson, like those are the guys I want to be investing. To think you spent 25 to 35% of your fab on Carson Steele. Maybe I'll look back on this in 2 weeks and be like, man, that was great. Well, I don't think that's going to look good.
I didn't put that much on him. So I was under $20. I did 18, like I said, and was $8 short in my league. I'll say this, like, you know, Deepak Chona, who we have on the Sunday wrap up show on Fantasy Pros, the medical expert, he said that Pacheco's not going to be right again this year. This is the same thing that happened to Mark Andrews last year. It's usually a 6 month full recovery time, which is why we saw Mark Andrews look good, you know, in the playoffs. He didn't look good when he came back in the regular season. So it's going to be some weird split. Maybe Carson Steele is the guy and it's still the Chiefs offense. So I understand bidding for him, especially early in the year. You know, you get to carry this guy the whole season if he's the guy. I just think it's going to be an ugly mix between all of those guys. I think Steele is the most likely to take it. But, I mean, the leading rusher on the Chiefs might not be on the roster right now.
It's a really great point. They could go and make an acquisition. They can go and call a team. I don't know, man. I look at like the Panthers and be like, let's just get rid of Miles Sanders. Not that Miles Sanders would be the answer, but like, would you hate if Miles Sanders was in Kansas City and they would give him some run? Probably not.
Like, no, I mean, Chuba, whatever. You know, I mean, they could try.
I don't think they get rid of Chuba, but like Miles Sanders. Why not?
They got Brooks coming back.
Chuba and Brooks probably feels better than they hate Miles Sanders.
But I think you could get more for Chuba because Miles Sanders is paid so much. So, you know, that's just my thought process there. But who knows? I mean, it could be someone from a different team, whatever, you know.
I said this on the rank show on Pros, and apologies because everything I reference it like 4 times in the show we just did.
Yeah.
I literally just did the show before this. So that's why it's on top of my mind. But like, I'm being picky about some of these waiver things. There's also people that just don't have a choice. Like, that's also what we, like, I'm sitting here being like, oh, Carson Steele, LOL, blah, blah, blah.
But
like,
if you have Christian McCaffrey and Pacheco.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Why wouldn't you be spending?
You got to go crazy on that. Like, I had a league or two where I was desperate at wide receiver, frankly, in our pentathlon.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Can't believe what fell. All your dreams dissed. Pops down the drain. Let's play some
in this league.
I know we're going to talk about Cam Coleman. You like Cam Coleman. We had nothing else on the bench. And that was why I was like, we got to get Jennings or Quentin Johnston. We got to get something to protect us a little bit because we are not, we're deep at running, but we're deep everywhere on that team. We're not deep at wide receiver. So I was like, we got to get something. When you're put in that position, we can be less picky about like, oh, you made a dumb choice and going hard on Carson Steele and stuff like that. It's like, if you're desperate, you need to cover yourself. You can't be too lackadaisical in this market because guess what? Players are getting hurt like crazy. Quentin Johnston, we LOL about it. Two more weeks of these injuries, Quentin Johnston, we might be like, well, he's our wide receiver 24 every single week because he's getting some targets and everyone else is getting hurt. So you need to be invested in the market. It's just you hope you weren't the guy that overpaid too much. So that's how waivers went. You guys can let us know where you're at. Carrying in some news, as we mentioned, Kareem Hunt signed with the Chiefs. He's on the practice squad. Could get elevated. He's familiar with the team. I just don't care about this team out there. I mean, if you're forced to start Steele, you do. But I just don't care about this backfield anymore.
I mean, Kareem Hunt looked bad last year. 32 teams had 2 weeks to pick him up. Nobody did it until, you know, we get really down bad with the Pacheco injury here. He's a guy that has experience. That's why he got signed. Dalvin Cook got signed before him. So, and we don't think anything of Dalvin Cook, do we? And that's a desperate situation in Dallas, too. The run game still hasn't worked. And we're not all going in and buying on Dalvin Cook. So, you know, I get it. Like, you want a piece of the Chiefs offense. You just want to be invested. So I understand that. But if you paid more than like $5 for Kareem Hunt, I think you might have lit that money on fire.
I think Nathan Jenke just said the Chiefs signed Keontae Ingram to an active roster contract rather than putting him on the practice squad might also be telling about like Kareem Hunt.
Yeah, I've said it wrong for 2 years. I think it's Yonke for Nate.
Yonke?
Yeah.
Yonte?
Yonke. Yonke.
Yeah. Yeah. Yonke?
There you go.
Yeah. All right.
Yonke? What are we doing? I'm sorry. Yonke? Where are we? Is this, I think you should leave
it. K-E-O-N-T-A-Y is what?
What? J-A-H-N-K-E.
Oh, you're talking about the PFF guy. I thought you were saying Keontae Ingram's name was.
Nope. Keontae Ingram went to Texas to start his career, bro. So no.
Buddy, it would not be I was staring at Keontae's name and hearing you say that pronunciation going, what?
Yeah.
You're talking about PFF's Nate Yonke.
Well, now you know why I got so weird because I was like, what are we doing?
Way more sense.
I forget you should, I think you should leave bit. I don't understand.
Yeah, I'm turning into Tim Robinson. World makes more sense now. Okay, I'm with it. Nathan Yonke, totally fine with me. Not Yonke Ingram, who I was like, how did that
Yonke
work out?
Ingram? Yeah.
Thank you. I needed that. All right.
Yeah, but Ingram was on the practice squad before Kareem Hunt was. So Ingram gets the elevation and Kareem Hunt to the practice squad.
Yeah.
That's where I'd rather have Ingram.
Yeah. I wouldn't have spent a dollar on Kareem Hunt. Yeah. Ingram. Yareem Yunt. I don't want Yareem Yunt at all on my team. AJ Brown is going to miss multiple weeks, according to Lisa Salters, which is absolutely brutal. Kind of thought this might be like a low, like 1 week thing. I think they've already said like he's not going to play in week 3. Devonta Smith is obviously the clear guy. We didn't see really any other big, massive step ups. I don't know if you have any like feelings on any other Eagles wide receivers.
No, I mean, Britton Covey caught a bunch of passes. He's the guy from Utah that they picked up. So that was nice to see. But I don't know, man, like, Dotson wasn't great. I think it's just the Slim Reaper.
Slim Stupid Reaper, maybe a little bit.
Catch at the end.
That was beautiful. Stupid. That was Bogman texts me. He goes, no, after Goddard catches a pass. I look, I'm losing by 0.24, about a quarter of a point. And I go, you son of a, I'm like, I'm still losing. I'm not losing by a fraction of a point. And then Bogman goes, let's go. And then Barkley draw. And then they have,
I was lighting candles to the God of stat corrections and everything just to make sure I was on the good side.
But then it was like 2 minutes left. Eagles had the ball and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to, they're just going to run the ball. And
when
then
the Falcons scored, I was so mad. I was like, they're back in this game. Yeah. Like they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit. Ugh,
and then Goddard sickening. Got it and I won. And
sickening. Only league I lost. Oh,
so nice. Debo, this was a cruel punishment. Debo Samuel is out and going to miss a few weeks with a calf injury. And that is why Juwan Jennings is, I'm going to be talking about him. Juwan Jennings is in play for like getting out there into flex spots in deeper 12-man leagues because he's not going to play the Debo role, but he gets targets when Debo is not out there. This is clearly a run thing and a good George Kittle move, but Juwan Jennings is going to take place. Maybe you see Cowing. People were asking about Ricky Pearsall. Ricky Pearsall is not available to come back till next week. He also hasn't been practicing, I don't think. So yeah. Like, I just, you got to hold that off right now. Like, just be excited about Juwan Jennings here for a little bit with Debo out. But this sucks for me and a couple of my fantasy teams.
Yeah, I mean, Debo getting hurt, it hurts the run game too. It's just he's a very valuable player for that offense. It's already missing their best piece in Christian McCaffrey. So injuries biting teams early. They're still a very good team. And listen, you know, as much as we love CMC, as much as we love Kittle and Debo and IU, the strength of the Niners offense is that line. And they're still going to, especially this week against the Rams, are going to bully them. It's not going to look a lot of fun for the Rams, specifically on offense for them with all the injuries they have. So Jennings is going to be fine. This offense is still a lot of motion, a lot of movement, a lot of play action. So Jennings is going to be a really good acquisition for the next couple of weeks while Debo's gone.
Yeah, and Jennings will be the guy that they'll move around to a lot. Yeah. He'll play that like motion guy that Debo played and that there's going to, they like to screen pass to Jennings too.
Think so. He gets a rush? What's his over under one rush attempt for Jennings?
Ooh.
Does he have any this year?
I haven't been paying too. Remember last year they ran that cool like screen wide receiver throw pass thing. I don't think Jennings, they don't like to do that with Jennings a whole lot. I think they might do it with Ayuk, to be honest, to get him going more. But as I'm going to say in the episode, like whatever Jennings, or I'm going to look for the earliest number and I'm going to take the receiving yard over receptions, probably over, because he's a safety net guy.
I want to see him take one rush.
I love it. Yeah, no, that'd be sweet. That'd be dope. The other just clerical things on injuries we've known about.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
No one asked you anything ever, so whomever's name is
In This League.
Why don't you take a letter opener and stick it in your skull? Hey!
Chris Welsh
said you were coming.
What else did he say?
He said you were the best in the parsec.
Scott Bogman,
former Imperial sharpshooter.
That's not saying much.
I wasn't a stormtrooper, wise ass.
Please excuse his lack of decorum.
In This League.
This is the way. Stop touching things.
It's week 3 ranks time, and joining us on the podcast is RotoWire's Jeff Erickson. Jeff. Nice to meet you. Have you met Bogman before?
Hey, I can't wait to meet you in person, man.
I'm Bogman. Nice to meet you. Good to see you.
We're the dumbest people on the planet. Long, long term. We go way back with Jeff Erickson, especially Bogman and Erickson, too, of continuously meeting each other. It's like Groundhog's Day, just getting to meet over and over. But Jeff Erickson, you have been a mainstay over at RotoWire for so long. We get to see you every single year over at First Pitch, do some poker, have so much fun, and we're excited to talk week 3 ranks with you. Have you survived the injury plague of 2024 though?
You know, I have. I only have one league with Christian McCaffrey and I had Jordan Mason, so that was fine. You know, always try to get the backup when you have a clear identifiable backup. I think there's a little lesson there. This week, we're all adjusting. I mean, I got hammered a couple of times by AJ Brown, you know, going out. Evan Engram in one league right before kickoff. 2 weeks in a row, guys, we've had the pre-kickoff late scratch thing, or in the case of Engram, just, you know, pregame warmups even. But I'll tell you what, that leaves you scrambling, especially at tight end. Good luck trying to pick somebody up, especially when everyone's already trying to pick up replacements for Jake Ferguson. So you're picking over just like the remainder. There's no Isaiah likely walking in that door. You're, and usually not even a Luke Schoonmaker available there. You're digging a little deeper even than that sometimes.
Well, I would say the only argument to that is I think it's so weird. It's two straight weeks. I think top five in waivers has been a tight end. You could have got Hunter Henry. Hunter Henry probably wasn't readily rostered after week one.
Jeff had to take two. Mike Gesicki in a bunch of those spots, right? Like, yeah. Your boy.
Well, yeah, and it worked out. And now I'm going to be taking tight ends against the Chiefs every week now, it seems like, but at least until they fix that. But yeah, he no longer makes me sicky, so we're good.
All right, well, we're going to be going through all the ranks, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end, picking out some of the big differences. I'd point out to you guys want to check out Full On Ranks, my boys over at Fantasy Pros. You can check out their rankings. We do ours, and we'll also post the ranks on Patreon if you just want exclusive Bogman and Welsh ranks. So let's just jump into it for week three. We will do a brief little look over on quarterbacks, nothing crazy to hit. Though I will say I am very disappointed in you, Jeff, because I am higher than your team's quarterback this week. I did it last week with Joe Burrow. I wasn't right in that he was going to get 300 yards, but I think I was right in that he had, like, you know, a big game in going up against the Chiefs, not theoretically playing from behind. I am all in on Joe Burrow this week, going up against the worst secondary in the NFL. It is Ja'Marr Chase week. I'm all in on him. I got Joe Burrow at 4 this week, and yeah, Bogman at 8 and you at 8. So let me ask you this. Why do you hate Joe Burrow?
Yeah, you know, that's right. I'm such a hater. It's because it's because T. Higgins isn't cleared yet. If T. Higgins plays this game, then that means that the Commandos can't, bracket, Chase, and that opens things up. I think you can throw more downfield after that. Yeah, they're terrible, but they're going to put two terrible guys on Chase still. And I think that's, they saw what the Chiefs did. And even in a better game, Chase was kept under wraps last week. It was 256 in passing yards. It's a good game, two touchdowns. And the offensive line still got some concerns for the Bengals there as well, especially the interior. I still have some concerns with there. So I'll probably move them up a couple. I'll have them leapfrog Daniels for sure. I mean, I might move a couple of guys around after that as well. I always do an update on Thursday and then another update right before kickoff on Sunday with my ranking. So I leave some room for some give.
So how about this? Instead of Bogsman getting your take on Joe Burrow, there's a really interesting rank thing that you guys have both got going on, which will have you both hit, but Boggs, we'll start with you. I just got off doing the Fantasy Pros rank show, and I brought this question. You're talking about QB1s is kind of just a weird thing. Yeah. Running back one, wide receiver ones. It's not like a start and sit type of thing. Sure. Except I poked at both Scott Pianowski and Pat to get their take on Anthony Richardson, because Anthony Richardson has not looked fantastic. He has a floor. He has a floor of the legs, of course. He had two huge explosive plays in week one, which were awesome throws, but he had 19 total attempts and 9 completions. And we kind of saw more of that this past week, bad decision-making, but we know the floor.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
It's In This League.
Got what plants crave. It's got electrolytes.
What are electrolytes? Do you even know? It's what they used to make.
In This League.
I'm the smartest guy in the world. Says who?
The IQ test you took in prison. Brought to you by Carl's Jr.
Where the legs are still there. And that was kind of where Pianowski and Pat were in some concern. His ECR on Fantasy Pros is 9. I actually have him at 9. I'm not sold on that. You two have made the commitment for him to, in theory, not be a QB1, little slightly different with Jeff, but it's pretty close. So Bogdan, let's start with you, because you put him at 13. He is not a QB1 in a 12-team league this week. Bears defense a little bit tougher. Talk to us about your concerns with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I think really what my concerns are in this game is the pace of this game and the fact that we're not giving Anthony Richardson a lot of chances to throw the ball even, right? They're kind of Malik Willising him. And we know that this run defense took a giant hit with DeForest Buckner going on IR. I think the Colts defense looks miserable right now on the back end, on the front end. We know that Caleb Williams can't stay upright right now. So the Bears' strategy here should be to run the football, which makes me kind of nervous for DeAndre Swift, too. I know he is their number one back, but you should put in a pounder like Roschon this week to run the ball up the middle and wear out that Colts defense and really keep possession of the ball for a long time. This could lead to the Bears scoring a bunch of points and maybe Richardson needs to throw the ball late in the game, but I don't know. I think this game's going to go back and forth. I think the Bears are going to ugly it up a little bit because the line, Caleb has taken so many hits. I think you have to take it easy on him this week. I think they're going to control the clock, control the pace. And I think this is going to be an ugly game. So for me, I'm avoiding Richardson this week.
Yeah, Jeff Colts said, had 15 snaps in the first half against Green Bay last week. Sorry,
it's crazy. No, I literally just wanted to set it up to see, like, you have him at QB 12, and yeah, there are two quarterbacks that you have lower that are number one and number two in fantasy through the first 2 weeks, and Baker Mayfield and Derek Carr. I've got Baker as a QB one, as does Scott. Derek Carr, I've got a little bit higher than both of you. I got it at 13. Scott's got it at 14. I mentioned this on the Rank Show. D-Bro had said, like, if you don't have Derek Carr as a QB one this week, like, you know, have we not been looking at the offense? So he's towing that line. And I'm only saying this to say that, like, I don't know. Do you think the floor of the massive passing upside of guys like Baker and Derek Carr can negate some of that upside that we've theorized with Anthony Richardson? Because you're lowering. I mean, we're all lowering on him.
Yeah. And Richardson got no help from his wide receivers. I'd make a point about it, but then I dropped it. But, it's really bad. And you're going to get Josh Downs back this week, probably. And I think that helps a little bit. Because A.D. Mitchell was had the most egregious drop, I think, in that sequence there. Hook 'em horns. Sorry. It was a key drive in the end of the first half there. They're near midfield. They're finally starting to get the ball. They got like a first down or two. They're starting to try to catch up. And no, that it was a horrible, hideous drop. Downs is a guy that everybody was raving about before his high ankle sprain and training camp preseason. So I kind of want to see what that does to the offense a little bit, but yeah, still concerned. And then going over to Carr, I mean, I'm slow. I'm very slow to kind of be convinced that Captain Checkdown is all of a sudden now this, dynamic passer I know Clint Kubiak's doing an incredible job with pre-snap motion, with play action. I think, you know, he played Carolina though too. And then, okay, they hit Dallas in the mouth. There's no doubt about that. I want to see a game where they have to throw him a little bit more, where Derek Carr is in a situation where he has to throw. They may not be playing with a big lead and being able to run at will. I think that's going to change Carr a little bit too.
Yeah, I'm a little dicey about like going all in on Carr. Rashid Shaheed's workload has looked a lot better. I'm a little bit selly on Shaheed in that, like, if you could get this big return because people are like, holy crap, he's all in, he'll be good. But, you know, his greatness has also been, I think, a little bit at the expense of like Chris Olave really thriving in this offense, blah, blah, blah. I can say all those things. I'm just not like sold that Derek Carr is going to be like slam dunk QB1 every single week. I kind of am in the place that Baker Mayfield is just going to be a dude every single week. Like when you have Chris Godwin and Mike Evans playing at this level, you have two wide receivers that can catch the ball out of the backfield and make explosive plays. I think it's hard to not kind of be in on Baker Mayfield, Boggs. And you're with me. We both have him at 11. You've got him over Dak this week too. Actually, I do too, but just making the point, you've got him over Dak, Richardson, Carr, that whole group.
Yeah, I don't really want to face an angry Ravens team. If I'm Dak, it's not a good situation. Angry Cowboys team too. They got crushed, but they just did not look good. As far as Baker goes, you're right. This offense is a pass first offense. It still is. It's still vertical, right? We're giving the ball to Godwin a bunch. Evans is making plays downfield. McMillan made a big play. Even the dump offs. That's why you go and get a guy like Bucky Irving in the draft, right? You want him to play in space. The only guy that doesn't really work in this offense is Cade Otton, who plays like 99% of the snaps and gets two looks a game. But yeah, Baker is slinging it right now. And obviously I'm not the biggest Baker fan, but the guy has been great in terms of fantasy. So hard to hate on him. And he's got to be a QB1 this week to me.
Go ahead.
And the problem with rankings is like, I may have Baker at 16, but 11 through 16 are almost like put them in a hat, shake them up and draw a number there. I mean, it's sometimes you don't see like, okay, well, I really feel you know, he's five spots lower, but they're all the same spot to me sometimes too.
I agree with that, except in the like 11 and 12, because there has to be a, you have to discern the QB one to the not startable quarterback. So like I'll tend to, I at least attempt to, by the way, I attempt to be like, these are the starting quarterbacks, but then you might have, like you're saying, quarterback 13 through 17 might be like, this is a glob. Like if you want to take a shot on those guys, or even a little further to your point, you can kind of say like, yeah, 10 through 17 is this kind of group, you know, just pick your favorite. And that's why like a Richardson in that unique spot, Richardson does have the upside. If you're seeing like, well, him and Baker and Derek Carr, blah, 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 like the upside play, like, you know, Anthony Richardson could potentially run for 80 and two touch. He could put up like an RB one type of day while also throwing the ball. He doesn't look good throwing the ball. That's like the thing that I keep focusing on with him. Let's go over to running backs here. Running backs. Again, not trying to go crazy into the RB1 territory because there's not a lot of start and sit stuff in here. I do want to point out this unique thing. We all have the same number one running back this week. We all have a different RB2 and a different RB3. So there's some parity in there. Bijan Robinson is the number one running back for all of us this week. We saw what he did. Kicking myself for not making my bet that I did with him last week because he just runs. He runs that offense even in some of the inefficiencies. We all have a different RB2, as I mentioned, though. Mine probably is the more standout of players. He's going to be an eye-opener. I have Jordan Mason as my number two RB this week. It's not like I'm crowing crazy against you guys because, Jeff, you have him at three, and Bogdan, you have him at five.
Yeah.
So let's stop there for a second. The Rams team is a disaster. Their defensive line is not good. They are completely broken on offense. The 49ers are they're frauds from last week. My team, it's embarrassing what they did, but they're going to be pissed. They're without Debo. Jordan Mason is number two in rushing attempts percentage of any team. He is the primary back. They're going to run him all day long, and they're going to successfully run him all day long. By that standard, Jordan Mason could be the number one back this week. So I just don't see it is great. Like obviously like Breece Hall and Saquon Barkley are these incredible talents. I think there might be a few matchups in there I don't particularly love, specifically Barkley, New Orleans, Breece Hall, New England. But again, this isn't like this weird start and sit thing, except that Jordan Mason is probably like RB4 for a lot of people. You just have to get him in. I'm all in on Jordan Mason clearly at two. And Jeff, you're kind of with me, obviously, at three. So I guess we're just hitting home the point that Jordan Mason is in the elite territory. He was top 10 last week. And by all standards for all of us, he is top five in week three.
League winner if you picked him up, or even better if you drafted him in the end game once it became clear he was going to be McCaffrey's backup there. And yeah, Debo being out, you don't get those. You're not going to have those end arounds to other players either around the goal line. It's going to be Mason.
Guess who has Mason in the pentathlon best ball, Jeff?
Oh, let me guess.
Yeah, we do.
Looking, yes. Looking up the standings. That
I have
because of our Jordan Mason pick.
I'm gonna say Welsh.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
I love
In this league.
Oh, I remember.
Yeah, I remember that.
I have, yeah, and I was really hard. I have quite a few shares. I have an FFBC in the Million Dollar League. I have them in one of my Millie Maker best balls. I got them in IDP. I got lucky drafting him all over the place. Very, very lucky. And our stupid IDP, by the way, 20th round, J.K. Dobbins, 22nd round, Jordan Mason. So that's
pretty good deals right there.
Yeah, definitely a bragger there.
In those. Yeah, look, my holdup with Jordan Mason last week was, okay, well, going into Monday Night Football, they told him Friday he's starting. Even, you know, since we didn't know and it was a total surprise, that's still a late jump on knowing he's going to be the starter. So I was like, maybe they just fed him the rock because he's the only guy. This was the plan. But we saw last week, no Garendo at all, right? He had one snap. Then we saw Debo go down with an injury as well. So who else is running the ball? And as Welsh mentioned, injuries on the offense for the Rams, injuries on the defense for the Rams are just not a good team right now. They're awful. They're so bad. I think the Niners, even down a couple guys here, are going to hold the ball for close to 35 minutes in this game. They're going to dominate time of possession. I think it's going to get ugly. I think it's going to be a lot of Jordan Mason runs in the second half. So, and against a tired defense, when you wear him down, that's when good stuff happens. So, yeah, Niners.
I think important thing, too, and we all take questions. There should be no Jordan Mason questions this week. That you nope. You need not ask any. You just do it. Whatever the question is, it's Jordan Mason. That's it. By the way, not for conversation, but we all have different running back threes, as I mentioned. Boggs has got Saquon. I've got Devon Achane, and Erickson's got Jordan Mason. So that was the unique thing. Four kind of opens up. But let's move out of this territory. I want to do a quick hit on this last RB1-ish type of player. And I'm looking. Bogman's got him at 8. I've got him at 8. He might come back down a little bit. Erickson, you've got him at 12. Erickson totally threw me off. I do a show with Andrew Erickson, and I just had this brain fart. I was Erickson. Like, it's like, whoa.
You also called me Scott in here, which was weird. So
doing all that, I just did with Pianowski.
Sorry,
I just
Dad.
Did a show with Pianowski. Yeah. So I'm sorry about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
we did this talking about Derrick Henry. There's starting to be, and Pianowski had this concern with Derrick Henry. There's starting to be this growing concern about what the usage is on Henry, and it's spilling over into this week. You still have him as an RB1, but Erickson, just curious at your take on Derrick Henry in that kind of low moving rank.
Well, I think the offensive line's a real problem. I think you look at the two games they've played, and the right side of that offensive line is getting manhandled. And I think that's really affecting Henry, who needs that little get that head of steam. I know he takes a lot of hits behind the line. He's always done that. He's not going to be the battering ram that he was with the Titans. He's just, they have other options. They run the offense differently than the Titans did. So you don't get the wear down factor as much. So he had one like 27 yard run, and every other run against the Raiders was a slog. And some of that probably a little bit Henry slowing down, but some of that also is that offensive line. And I think that's going to be something that's going to be a problem for a while here. It's not completely tailored to Henry. And this offense is built around Lamar. It's not built around Henry.
Boggs, I slightly think Derrick Henry might be in the bye territory right now, because I think everything you said is right, and it's not tailored. But I also think, and Pianowski had this really great stat, month over month, the yards per carry go up for Derrick Henry on his career every single month. And I think
defenses get more tired, and Derrick Henry doesn't.
But also, down. Like, he's getting a little bit older. I don't think it behooves a team that's already looking to the playoffs to bust him out 25 carries a game early on, especially when you have a back that you think is comparable. I think this is a burn week to week where the carries go up and up. And then it's like that. I know it doesn't help for everybody right now, but it's like that week, you know, 10 to 16. It's like 20 plus carries for Derrick Henry every single week. It doesn't help for week three. Do you buy into that at all, Boggs? That like Derrick Henry, it might be a buy right now for the latter parts of the season?
For sure. I think Jeff is right. Also, like, you know, the offensive line is a problem. It's an issue, and they don't tailor this offense to Derrick Henry. It is built around Lamar, but the Ravens are also 0-2 to start the season. So this has not been working. And you kind of saw late in that game, they even threw a pass to Derrick Henry to try to get him in space a little bit more, because this line is letting him down so much. I think we're going to see more of that this week. I think there's going to be more of an emphasis of running the ball and controlling the clock for Baltimore. So, you know, you don't go out and pay this guy to not use him, but he is not the centerpiece like he was in Tennessee. But I mean, who is more likely to score a touchdown on a week to week basis than Derrick Henry? So, you know, that's the thing that will always bring me back, is there's always a chance that Derrick Henry scores two touchdowns any given week. So he's almost always going to at least be a borderline RB1 to me.
Let's go into the higher like RB2 range, and I think this is like one of the most fun. I think there's a lot of chalk in RB2 and like the latter parts of RB3 or flex look really stinky. So like this is like the land that you're going to live in. This one, J.K. Dobbins, I think is the best question of the week. J.K. Dobbins obviously has performed greatly. He's top 20 in ECR, but he is going up against his first real test. You know, last week, nice cakewalk with Carolina. Going up against the Pittsburgh Steelers has me concerned this week. Boggs, you actually have him at 19. You've got him right at ECR. I have him the lowest at 24, but Jeff, you've got him at the absolute highest at 16. He has shared carries with Gus Edwards, but you do not seem as worried on J.K. Dobbins up against the Steelers. So let's hear it.
Yeah, I didn't set out to be the absolute highest in Dobbins, just kind of flowed that way. I mean, I think some of the other players are have some questionable setups there, so maybe that's why I'm there. Sorry about the dog, by the way.
No, my dog. Oh. That's what I was asking about. Oh. My dog's barking right now.
God, mine is too. So I have the gardeners around our house here, but sorry about that sidebar there. Back to J.K. Dobbins. He's looked good. He looks like the back that was drafted that everybody was so eager to get in Dynasty before he had 17,000 injuries. And I think the Chargers are the opposite of the Ravens right now, where their run blocking is just elite. They invested in the draft two of the last 3 years on tackles, and it's really working out pretty well. I think that's where you start. And then, of course, you have a coaching staff that's fully committed to the run. You're right that timeshare is a concern. Gus Edwards got like 18 carries. That's about 17 too many. But then again, they don't want Dobbins to wear it down, too. This is going to be an interesting test against the Steelers. Much harder defense.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I know how you're feeling right now.
Stop it. Don't do that.
I'm here for you.
Oh. In this league.
You are too easy.
But again, I don't think the Chargers are going to want to throw against the Steelers that much. I think, if anything, they're going to try to keep that a pass rush off of Herbert, especially if Herbert isn't as mobile with that lower leg issue that he dealt with at the end of the game against Carolina.
Dobbins has just been solid. Of my concerns off of week one were alleviated, because I was as a guy that invested in him, I was kind of like, hey, you could potentially look to try to sell high. It wasn't the week to do it because he's going against Carolina, but he was untouched in week one. Week two, he started breaking tackles and getting big yards and scoring touchdowns again. Like, he's a dude. There's no doubt about it. The injury concerns are still out there, but Fox, I don't know if there's anything to add on this. Like, I'm just worried against the Steelers. Your Steeler defense has been really tough, and Herbert's kind of banged up, and I think I don't want to say they've gotten away with stuff. I'm just not sure that Chargers offense is super, super efficient, and Carolina makes anybody look good. You're now going to go up against a stout defense with some question marks still on the offense, and J.K. Dobbins is staring at us. I'm just not sure, like, if I have other options that I can put Dobbins out this week.
Well, Carolina is miserable. I'm not going to sit here and tell you anything different, but the Raiders defensive line is not. Max Crosby and Christian Wilkins are two of the best defensive linemen in the league, and the Chargers push them around. So I don't know that you can do that against TJ Watt and Cam Hayward and Keanu Benton and company against Pittsburgh, in Pittsburgh specifically. And they might be a little bit one-dimensional, but they're going to give it a go. They're going to pound the rock. You don't want to leave an already gimpy Herbert or Easton Stick, if it's him out there, whoever, back there to get eaten up by TJ Watt. So they're going to run the ball a lot. He's going to have a lot of carries. And really, what gives me this confidence in his ranking is the explosion that we've seen from him, and that top speed has been there. So I think he breaks a couple. I think it's just a matter of him getting 20 carries in this game, possibly, and being a hammer and having a couple breakthrough. And, I think there's a chance he gets in the end zone as well. So I think he's got to be up there pretty high.
This is the other guy that really stands out in the RB2 range. And Boggs, you'll have to correct me if yours was more relative to not moving Ken Walker, but Zach Charbonnet is in the 20s. I think he's ECR 20. He had like 98% of the snaps, or 95. He had literally everything. I'm assuming Ken Walker isn't out there. I will tell you, on my personal ranks right now, I have them next to each other. And that's more of a, like, as soon as we know Walker's out, he just goes, and Charbonnet will pretty much stay where I have him. If Walker were to play, Charbonnet goes down, Walker goes up some. Jeff, you've got Charbonnet at 20. I've got him at 22. But Bogman,
I'll have him at
here.
21.
Okay, because you have him at 32.
Yeah, I saw a report. Obviously, I got. I thought it said that Ken Walker was wheels up this week. So I had him closer to 15. But since Walker's probably not playing, I'll have Charb at 21.
Yeah, and my rankings convention is always like a guy that misses a week before, unless they're absolutely like, yes, he's coming back, before I see the practices, he goes to the bottom of my rankings. Then I'll move him up as the week goes on. And Sharb is obviously there, assuming Walker's not going to play. So, yeah, clearly Walker leapfrogs Charbonnet there. But Charbonnet is there when we need him because Walker, this is what he does. He misses a game here, misses a game there, misses like 2 days of practice. Oh, and then he's going to play, you know, although we don't have Pete Carroll lying to us anymore. So at least we have that going for us.
Like a Dr. Seuss meme. Miss a game here, miss a game there. He misses a game everywhere. So one more, and then we're going to pick on a couple really interesting ranks that Jeff has got. I'm not sure there's anybody that's been more disappointing in that like 20-ish range of ranks than Zamir White. Zamir White has been a pretty big disaster early on in the season. Team admits that they want to get him the ball a whole lot more. What better time to do it than against Carolina? So I think there's a nice meetup of Zamir White getting right versus just one of the worst teams. Rank-wise, there might be some timidness still. I got him at 26. Boggs got him at 27. Jeff, you've got him at 24. If you're going to buy into, if Zamir White's going to do it ever, it's going to be this game. And yeah. I think that's kind of like the thought process of getting him in lineups is like, look at what J.K. Dobbins did. They literally publicly say, we want to get him the ball more. So that's why I think you can be a little bit more comfortable. RB2, maybe flex spot this week, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Boggs, Zamir White.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that bothers me about Zamir White is that he got yanked after that fumble in week one. So it's like, if he fumbles again, are we going right back to Alexander Mattison? I really don't like that. Like, he's a young guy. Give him the shot. Don't yank him in week one because he made a dumb mistake. Yeah, it was a dumb mistake, but you got to let these guys work through these things. So still a little fearful, but Carolina is such a good matchup. So I think we'll wheels up on Zamir this week.